airport. In other words, only to a true believer. The same is true for a man. What's good for the goose is good for the gander. Jesus said, whoever divorced their spouse commits adultery, and whoever marries the one so divorced commits adultery. What about that don't we understand? It's very clear. When you combine all the passages of Scripture from Genesis to Revelation, you see the religious leaders of Jesus' day came to him to test him on this subject, and he said, is it right for a man to put away his wife for any cause? And Jesus said, look, yes, I know that Moses gave you permission to divorce, but it was only because of the hardness of your heart. But from the beginning, Jesus said, it was not so. Never God's will. So I want to ask you, are you pleading the case of hardness of heart to justify what you want to do? You see, God knows our hearts. Now, if you want to find out what the Bible really has to say about marriage, divorce, and remarriage, go to our website, saveus.org. There's a 7-page outline there under marriage. Check that. 7 pages. All the Bible says about this in an orderly fashion. Pray about it, then read it. Thanks for joining us. I hope these have been helpful. Send your gifts by faith to Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. And it's still true, the just shall live by faith.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king, but in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And, well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Pastor Billy Crone. And if you haven't heard his 10 DVD series on the Final Countdown, you really need to get it, because it will help you to understand what is happening from a geopolitical point of view. But now we're going on to another 10 DVD series he's done on creation. This idea that God created the heavens and the earth. And, of course, the intellectual, the Richard Dawkins of this world, say that is a ridiculous thing to say. Why, of course, there is no God. And of course, a great deal of effort has been made to actually destroy the belief in God. Certainly, that's the reason they took God and prayer out of our school. That is why, if you work in academia at our major universities, and you even suggest that you believe in intelligent design, you're going to lose your job, or they're going to make your life so miserable. You see, we do not have academic freedom. We have academic corruption at our major universities. And if you haven't seen the wonderful DVD called Expelled by Ben Stein, you need to get it, and you need to watch it as Ben Stein goes all across the country and goes to England to talk to these so-called intellectuals, open-minded intellectuals, who will tolerate everything except somebody who disagrees with them and believes that there might even be intelligent design in the world to explain the perfect organization of everything going on. Well, you don't want to hear me talking about this, because Pastor Crone's done a great job on the whole concept of creation, and we recommend the 10 DVD series to you. But, Billy, thank you very much for being with us this evening.
Thank you, Dr. Monteith. It's a pleasure to be on.
You go right ahead.
Well, you know, that's really what it is it's a conspiracy, but that's really nothing new, and that's what we do with this series, is we unveil what has been veiled by the conspiracists. In fact, it's a conspiracy of such nature, it frankly was predicted 2,000 years ago in the Bible, and believe it or not, it has to do with evolution. The Bible says in the book of Romans chapter 1, the Apostle Paul speaking, he said, the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth, okay, by their wickedness. Since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God made it plain to them. Well, how? Well, it continues. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power, his divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made so that men are without excuse. And that's just the issue. There is a conspiracy. The Bible talks about that there is going to come a time in the last days, specifically, Peter adds to that, the scoffers who would come. He says that they're going to be willingly ignorant. Now stop and think about that, folks. What does that mean? What does willingly ignorant mean? That means dumb on purpose. That means you do not want to deal with the facts. In fact, Peter goes on and tells you the motive as to why these people would turn away from the facts and choose to follow a lie. It says because they wanted to follow their ungodly desires. They don't, as you just said, Dr. Monteith, they don't want there to be a God. And this is the whole issue with evolution, folks. Evolution is one of the biggest lies on the planet. But you've got to understand, this issue of evolution is not just a battle of worldviews of creation versus evolution. You need to understand this is the premise, the supposed worldview justification that they are using on you and I to do everything from population control to annihilate 90% of the planet, to enter you and I into a whole new realm of slavery where they are the ones that control, and that those who get to be chosen to live on this planet by their choosing, not ours, have the privilege of serving them. You think I'm making it up, folks? Hitler did the same thing, and they're doing it again today. And evolution is making it possible, and it's a lie.
Well, you won't get any disagreement here, and I think it's so vitally important that people understand that there really are people who want to kill off most of the people here on Earth. It's called population control, eugenics. They openly talk about it, and but of course the life could be yours or one of your family. Pastor Billy, go right ahead.
Well, that's what we talked about last time, Dr. Monteith, was you need to understand that, again, this is not just hey, let's that's your worldview, that's my worldview, and you need to understand this worldview is not only a lie. The lie is being used to justify the kind of new world order that they are trying to thrust upon us, folks. That's happening all over the planet. And that's what we said last time. We saw that it was the same supposed justification that Hitler used, evolution, yes, evolution, folks, that Hitler used, that's what we talked about last time, to annihilate 6 million Jews and 7 million Christians. That never seems to get brought up. But that's what his justification was with, you know, all the things that he did, folks. He believed in the Aryan race, and, you know, he believed that was the highest order on the evolutionary scale, and it was his job, if you will, to produce a master race. It's all evolution, folks, that gives people this mindset. But you need to understand, it's not just evolution. Evolution does not just provide the basis for what we saw with the Holocaust and Nazism. Folks, evolution is the same basis that's being used even right here in America with communism, folks. You need to understand where they're coming from. Karl Marx, as we all know, of course, is the one who wrote up with communism, and he did it on the back of evolution. He knew that he needed evolution in order to push this idea of communism. And communism, the whole premise, of course, is that it removes God from the authority and puts man in place. You have to have no God in order for communism to flourish. In fact, Dr. Monteith, this is very interesting. People don't realize this. Missionaries have said that when they're working in a country, okay, and communists begin to come in and start to take over, the very first thing that the communists do when they come into that country, okay, they go straight into the schools and they start teaching communism? No. They go straight to the schools and they start teaching evolution first. They start laying a foundation of evolution. Why? Because then they can bring in the teachings of communism. They know that communism cannot thrive in a place where people believe that their rights come from the Creator, which is exactly what our founding fathers believed, that our rights were endowed by our, what, a cosmic accident? No, by our Creator. That's what our whole founding fathers believed. So anyway, so that's what they do, folks, when they want to come in and take over, a country, is they produce evolution in the educational system. And that's exactly what's going on here in America. And they know, folks, this is why they're trying to suppress the truth, and this is why we're trying to get the truth out to people ourselves and do what we can to make a difference. They know that this creation movement, this issue of intelligent design, which is based on science, contrary to what they want to say, is one of the biggest hindrances for not just communism, but for the whole New World Order. And they would very much like to get rid of guys, myself and many others, who are trying to get the truth out there, folks.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Of course, Pastor Crone was just basically saying that communism cannot coexist with Christianity or belief in God. So when the communists want to take over a country, the first thing they do is get rid of any teaching of creation in the schools and begin to teach evolution. And, of course, if evolution is true, then the Bible is alive. And you see, if the Bible is alive, then there is no other authority other than men. And what they want is for people to turn their back on the belief that God determines the affairs of men, that we should be answerable to God. No, we are to replace God with the all-powerful state. That's exactly what is being advocated in the public schools in America today. And that's why we have a Marxist regime in the White House today, because behind them are these people of great wealth and power who want to establish this one world rule for the coming Antichrist. This is what it's all about. But, Pastor Crone, you pick up the story.
Well, that's just it. You know, a lot of people, Dr. Monteith, out there might say, well, hey, whew, man, that's unfortunate for those other countries. But no, sirree, we're never going to be fall prey to communism here in America. Are you kidding me, folks? Don't you understand? Evolution has been crammed, the lie of evolution has been crammed in the media and our educational system for several decades now. Is it any wonder, folks, that we see what's happening in our country right now? They're striking while it's hot. It's been all planned out, folks. They provide the basis of evolution just like they do in the other countries. The missionaries confess that, and now it's time to introduce communism. You know, if you guys aren't familiar, of course, the listeners, Monteith, I'm sure many of them are, but, you have the classic, how do you want to take over a country? What is the tenets of communism? Well, let me just read a couple of them, and as I read through them, folks, you tell me which ones haven't already been in place in our country. This is communism, folks. The first thing you do is you have the abolition of private property. First of all, that's what's really behind the environmental movement, an excuse to get rid of that, amongst other things. But you take away private property in communism. Then you institute a heavy progressive income tax. Yeah, that sounds familiar. You have the abolition of all rights of inheritance. You have a confiscation of property of all immigrants and rebels. Who gets to be a rebel? Then you promote a central bank. That sounds familiar. Then you have the government control all communications and transportation. That's already happening. Then you have the government control the factories and agriculture, and then you have the government control labor, and then you have the government control farms and regional planning. Hey, that's already happening. They're buying up companies, doing all kinds of stuff. And then, of course, you have free education for all children in government-controlled schools. And you're so right, Dr. Monteith. See, kids today are not taught how to think, okay? They're not learned how to be critical thinkers. Kids today are taught what to think. And there's a world of difference. They're not getting an education. They're getting an indoctrination in a lie that is being used to prepare their grave. Now, let's take a look at some of the fruits of these people in these communist countries. We saw before with Hitler, with Nazism, that evolution provided justification for. He killed 14 million people, estimates. Okay, 6 million Jews, 7 million Christians. Well, Pol Pot, the communist regime there in Cambodia, he killed one-third of his whole country, folks. One-third of his whole country. Annihilated. Stalin and his communist regime, there's estimates anywhere from 20 to 60, I mean, some one estimate up to 100 million people were murdered under that communist regime. How about Mao Zedong in China? They killed 50 to 80 million people in their country. Why? Because they were under an evolutionary belief system called communism, folks, and it's being promoted right here in America, and you don't think it's going to be used here in America for mass genocide? You got it wrong, folks. They're following the same plan that they're doing in other countries. And you don't think it's getting close? Hopefully people are already aware of this. Folks, you need to understand in just a few days, I believe it's the 20th, yes, the 20th of this month, they're planning to fly the red Chinese flag at the White House. Obama has given permission to raise the emblem of the Communist China over the South Lawn of the White House. The article says, this is from WorldNet Daily, and it's in recognition of the Chinese 60th anniversary. One Chinese guy said, it's always been my dream to raise a Chinese flag in the center of Washington, D.C. This year, my motherland's 60th birthday. This is the perfect time for this. Another person said, I expect the Chinese media will make a big thing of it, saying something like, look how strong and powerful China is, raising our flag on the White House. And one person rightly makes a comment, says, excuse me, did we celebrate the 4th of July in Beijing in front of their leader's house? What is going on in our country? Well, folks, you need to understand. It's the same premise that they're following. They have been teaching evolution. Many people have been soft-pedaling and not being told how to critically think. And it's not only not true, but you need to understand, folks, it is being used to overtake our country to establish not just communism, which we don't call communism anymore. It's just a new word. It's called socialism, which is the same thing. And it is being used to usher in the new world order upon us. It's a lie. And that's what we do, Dr. Monteith. You know, a lot of people say, hey, you're just a wacky conspiracist. You know, we're not going to listen to you. You're one of those fundamentalist Christians. And excuse me. So that's what we do with this series, okay? We meet people where they're at. If you don't want to listen to us, you don't want to listen to the scripture, then I tell you what. We're just going to provide the scientific information. Yes, that's right, folks, scientific information. And contrary to what people make claims towards Christians, I used to be one of them, by the way, who used to make this claim until I began to discover the facts for myself, is that you're checking in your brain at the door if you become a Christian. Well, we actually invite you to please bring your brain in. You're going to need it because we deal with scientific information proving beyond a shadow of a doubt that there really is a God. And this is the good news, Dr. Monteith. That we really can have a personal, intimate relationship through Jesus Christ. That's the first premise that we created this series. The second one was to get the truth out to people and show you folks there is a lie. It's a deadly lie. Again, it's being used to dig your grave. And the whole issue of intelligent design is just common sense, folks. It's common sense mixed with science, okay? It basically goes something like this. If something shows the evidence of design, then naturally, logically, intellectually, that implies a designer. Okay, and last time, just real quickly to share it again, we used the watch analogy. If I were to actually come on this interview, like I did last week, and this week I really meant it though, and I said that my watch, on the way here into the interview, that I found a watch in the ditch across the street, and it's got about 12 moving parts on it. It's a digital watch. And I was convinced that it randomly popped on the scene there through millions and billions of years of rain, wind, and erosion. And a lightning bolt hit it, and voila, produced that watch. And I just picked it up. I just happened to go by. And if I really truly believed that, what would people say? You would say, hey, man, you got some serious problems, you know? And why? Because everybody knows, common sense tells you, there's no way a watch can design itself. Watches are made by watchmakers. They show design, which implies a designer. And so this is the whole premise. Okay, then why is it acceptable for evolution to say that not just a watch with 12 moving parts, but our bodies with 50 trillion cells, which all have to be there fully functioning or you're dead meat, did? Oh, and by the way, then how in the world did another person pop on the scene with the same characteristics, just happen to be the exact opposite sex, so that you could procreate? That's pretty amazing. Oh, by the way, that's just people. How about all plants? How about all of life? How about the whole universe? You're going to say that did? Whose cheese is sliding off of whose cracker here? Okay, and the irony is, folks, that they say that you cannot have religion in school, which is a lie, by the way, because they teach Islam, they teach New Age, they teach witchcraft. It's just Christianity that they don't have in school. But to use their verbiage, they say you can't have religion in school. But, folks, when you take a look at this series and you deal with your own brain and you look at the scientific facts, you're going to find out it takes more faith to believe and maintain evolution than it does just to read the first page of the Bible. Okay, and again, the whole premise, folks, what is sickening about this is it's not even based on hardcore facts of science. That's the lie. If you repeat a lie loud enough, long enough, and often enough, people believe it. And they've got people believing that this is somehow science. It's not. You have to have more faith to believe this. And so that's what we did in the series, Dr. Monteith. We took a journey, if you will, all the way scientifically, all the way to the edge of the universe, all the way to the telescope, and we went all the way down to the microscope, down to the bacteria level. And we looked at the scientific data and began to see, who wins the game? Okay, which one is more logical to believe in? All this just burped up on the scene accidentally? Or does it show evidence of an intelligent designer, i.e. God? Is the Bible correct when it said that there would actually come a time when people would suppress the truth about God's existence because you should be able to see it plain as day through what he created? Well, I think you'll find that out for yourself, folks, once you check it out. The Bible clearly says that God is the one, in Genesis chapter 1, who made all the animals according to their kinds. Okay? And evolution says, no. God isn't the one who made the animals and created them on the earth. They say, no. The animals were a result of a cosmic accident that gave them birth. Okay? So let me just share with you, folks, just very quickly, some scientific information about some animals. Okay? And you tell me if there's any way that any of these animals could have ever accidentally burped onto the scene. Okay? Let's take a look at the giraffe. Charles Darwin, folks, actually believed that the giraffe was just a regular animal, okay, that grew a longer neck over time because it needed to reach the higher branches for food. Okay, that's an interesting premise, but let's put that to the test scientifically. Okay, I'm kind of a short kind of a guy, and I reach for all kinds of things in the cupboard. You know, I got to stretch quite a bit. You know, I'm a short guy. So does that mean if I keep this up over, 50 years, I'm going to grow a longer arm? It's ridiculous. Okay, there's one thing to believe that, but let's put it to the test. Okay, could a giraffe ever evolve a longer neck? Well, you be the judge, folks. First of all, let's take a look at some information about the giraffe. The neck of the giraffe is about 6 feet long, which means that just bending over, it could explode its brain from the pressure. So how in the world does the giraffe do it? How does it stay alive? Well, it just so happens, folks. Call it a quinky-dink? I don't think so. I call it design. The giraffe has the most powerful heart in the whole animal kingdom. It's 2 feet long, the heart, and it weighs 25 pounds. But that's not all. It also happens to come equipped, the giraffe, with four safety features to keep its brain from exploding just from taking a drink of water when it bends over. One, the giraffe has in its jugular veins a series of one-way check valves that immediately close as soon as its head's lowered. Okay, that's kind of cool. But wait a second, that creates a secondary problem. This puts way too much blood in the carotid artery, and so now what do you do? Well, it just so happens the extra blood is immediately pushed into a special spongy tissue located near the brain, which absorbs all the excess blood. Wait a second, all that excess blood, that's going to rupture the brain, so what's it do? Well, three, it just so happens it then produces a fluid in the brain that acts as a counterpressure to prevent the rupture from occurring. And then four, to make sure that no other rupture occurs anywhere else, the walls of the giraffe's arteries are thicker than any other animal's, 3 inches thick. So how in the world could that ever evolve, like Darwin said? And at what stage of the development could a giraffe survive unless all these features were fully there all at the same time, fully functioning? The first time it had one of those things wrong, its head would explode, folks. And the last time I checked, giraffes with exploding heads do not have babies. It's impossible.
Okay, well, we're going to have to take a break here. I will be back in just a moment with Pastor Billy Crone. And as you look at the marvelous things in science, in nature, in biology, at the human body, at the giraffe, do you honestly think that this at all happened by accident? Okay, you pick up the story there.
Well, let's take a look at another animal. They're all over the planet, folks. Let's take a look at the kangaroo. This is amazing. You tell me.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a four tape or a four CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that will protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
As they exhale water, why they can actually bring back the moisture that's in their exhaled breath into the body, how they can conserve their proteins, how they can control the temperature of their body over a 12-degree span. And it's amazing, you know. The camel is an amazing beast to be able to live and function in the desert. The same thing was talking about the bat. And the bat sonar device that allows them to hunt at night is better than anything man's been able to design, but nobody would ever suggest that the sonar that's used on our military planes and by our military, that these things simply evolve. No, they had to be designed. And yet, of course, the bat's sense of sonar exceeds anything we've been able to create. You pick the story up, Pastor Billy.
Well, that's just it. You know, again, with the bat sonar, it's like it can even use, Dr. Monteith, the bats can focus their sonar in a narrow beam. They can turn their heads, move from side to side, making a sweep of the area. They even use it to find fish under the water. And you're absolutely right. That's what common sense tells you. Wait a second. If you're not going to say that the radar that man engineered, designed, somebody had to come up with that, with intelligence, happened by chance, you're going to say this did? Again, who's got more faith? When you look at the evidence, folks, it clearly reveals there had to be a designer designing all the stuff. It's impossible. It takes more faith to think that it didn't than it did. Okay, let me give you just one more. How about the koala? This is amazing, folks. The koala is about a 2-foot-tall, 20-pound animal. Spends its entire life basically in the eucalyptus trees. Okay, now what's amazing is that just like the kangaroo, when the babies are born, they're little tiny little things, and they too automatically know that they need to crawl into their mother's pouch, and then they automatically know that after about 6 months they need to go hop on their mom's back and stay there for another 6 months. Okay, but here's what's really amazing about this is not just that ability like the kangaroo, is that pretty much all their food and water comes from eucalyptus leaves. Okay, because they're hanging on the eucalyptus tree. Okay, but there's a problem. The eucalyptus leaves, folks, are poisonous if swallowed. So how in the world does the koala stay alive? Well, hey, call it a quinkity. I don't think so. I have to call it design. It just so happens, folks, that the koala has special stomach acid, which neutralizes the strong chemicals in the eucalyptus poison. And it doesn't just neutralize it. It actually turns it into something safe and nutritious to eat. Now, wait a second. How in the world could that ever happen by chance? I mean, stop and think about it logically, folks. The first supposed koala, according to evolution, hops up into the eucalyptus tree, okay, and it eats a leaf, it's dead. And just like exploding giraffes with their heads, dead koalas have no babies, okay? All these things have to be there fully functioning. Otherwise, it's impossible for these things to continue. And folks, again, evolutions, they come along and they say that all this talk about intelligent design is just religion trying to get in the schools. Are you kidding me? We're just trying to get the truth out to people with scientific information. They have brainwashing people into thinking that this is just a Christian attack and it has nothing to do with science. But really, folks, what they don't tell you is many scientists, and not all of them are Christian, by the way, are dealing with the facts, okay? Looking at this information, here's what astronomer George Greenstein said. He said, is it possible that suddenly, without intending to, we have stumbled upon the scientific proof for the existence of a supreme being? As we survey all the evidence, the thought insistently arises that some supernatural agency must be involved. And that's exactly what the Bible says, that everybody is without an excuse because they should know that there is a God because he's given us evidence of design in his creation. That's exactly what that scientist said. He could have just read the first page of the book of Romans. Another scientist, a physicist, Tony Rockman, he said this when looking at this stuff. He said, quote, when confronted with the order and beauty of the universe and the strange coincidences of nature, he said, it's very tempting to take the leap of faith from science into religion. He said, I'm sure many physicists want to. He said, I only wish they would admit it. So would I. Okay? And so what are these scientists saying, folks? Again, what are these scientists saying? Because, again, that's a lie. That anybody who believes in this, it's not science. And that's all we're dealing with on this series, Dr. Monteith, is scientific information. Okay? Make up your own mind. Deal with the facts. They are saying if you think that all of life, including these animals, and this is just a couple of them that I just went through tonight, if you think they happen by chance, you've got some serious problems. Why? Because any intelligent person knows that when you see design in something, okay, it implies a designer. Okay? And folks, this is just the tip of the iceberg of the study that we provide. Again, we go all the way from the telescope to the microscope. But hopefully you're starting to get a taste of the information that we share to people, to expose to the American people that they are being totally lied to. There really is a conspiracy. The Bible predicted it 2,000 years ago. It's an evolutionary conspiracy, and it's arisen in these last days to provide the supposed justification for building the New World Order. And the whole time, it's sick, folks. It's not even true. It's a lie.
It certainly is a lie, and we're going to be back here in just a moment with Pastor Billy Crone, and then we'll tell you how to get in touch with him and, of course, to get in touch with his ministry right here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and we do hope you enjoy hearing Kate Smith as much as we enjoy bringing her to you here at the middle of our program every evening. And we just think it's a wonderful reminder about what America was. Unfortunately, the America that I was raised in doesn't exist anymore. Can we reclaim her? Only God knows the answer to that. question, but we have an obligation to try. We'll be back in a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our past guest is Pastor Billy Crone. And before we go on, Pastor Billy, I want you to get your website out and tell people how they can get in touch with your ministry.
Sure. You can go to our main website, and that's NiagaraFrontierBible.com. That's NiagaraFrontierBible.com, NiagaraFrontierBible.com. Or you can just search for my name on the Internet, Billy Crone. BillyCrone, N as in Nancy, Billy Crone, and that'll take you where you need to go.
And of course, we do carry a number of things that Pastor Billy put out because they think they're a wonderful source of information, and of course, they all end with an invitation to come to know the Lord, which is really what this is really all about. And if there's any hope for America, it's going to be a great revival. I don't see it happening, but of course, that's in God's hands, not in mine. Our job is to get the information out and to reach as many people as we can in the time that's allotted to us. Well, Pastor Billy's talking about creation, about the amazing things that God has created, and they want us to think that they all just happened by accident. And the trouble is, scientists are having a real problem with this idea of intelligent design, because there's a perfect order to the heavens. There's a perfect order within chemistry and biology and certainly within physics and even within music. There's a perfect order within arithmetic. Everything, even languages, are in a perfect order and organized. Do you honestly think that all just happened by accident? So, Pastor Billy, you pick up the story.
You know, as you were saying that, Dr. Monteith, it reminded me of a classic cartoon that depicts the hypocrisy, and I would even use the word idiocy, unfortunate. So, of people who make the claim that I'm going to prove. The cartoon basically has a scientist, if you will, and he's in the laboratory in a white coat, and he's going through test tubes and doing all this stuff, and the caption underneath basically says, I'm going to prove with my intelligence that you can create life without intelligence. It's just like, what? I mean, here these guys are working their tails off, spending billions of our taxpayers' dollars trying to use their intelligence to somehow prove that it didn't take intelligence to create life. You cannot escape the reality that there's an intelligent designer. In fact, you talk about hypocrisy, just a little history lesson. Here's what's so hypocritical, folks. There was a famous trial in our country, 1925 in Dayton, Tennessee. It was called the Scopes Monkey Trial. Okay, and this was a watershed event, because even though the evolutionists lost the case, it was after this that there started to get a momentum going for evolutionary teachings to take foothold here in America. Okay, until finally, as you know, in the early 60s, prayer and Bible reading was taken out, and then later the Ten Commandments. And first of all, that trial was a complete sham. And, but the trial accused a teacher of violating a state law that banned the teaching on human evolution. Yes, that used to be banned from teaching in our country. So the teacher, first of all, had not even taught biology. They couldn't even remember for sure. They were a substitute. They couldn't even remember for sure if they discussed evolution while substituting for the regular teacher. But he agreed to be arrested and stand trial anyway. So it was phony from the get-go. They just wanted to have a platform to get this out there. And so for the contest, the ACLU brought in several big city attorneys, including a famed criminal lawyer at the time, a guy named Clarence Darrow. He was an atheist from Chicago. And then to assist in the prosecution, you had the World's Christian Fundamentalist Association. They secured the services of a William Jennings Bryan out of Nebraska. He was a 3-times candidate for president of the United States and obviously an anti-evolutionist. Anyway, but here's the point, folks, is it was not until this trial that most public schools taught the divine creation theory. Yes, in our schools. Students in those days, as you talked about, Dr. Monteith, and you know, the America that you knew in those days studied the facts of what? Yes, science, and they were told that the evidence indicates that there is a creator who obviously designed the universe and the plants and the animals, okay? But this trial began to turn things around, okay? It lasted about 8 days. It actually ended in the conviction for the young teacher. They lost. His own attorneys conceded his guilt, okay? But here's my whole point in sharing this. In that trial, folks, the Scopes Monkey Trial, the atheist lawyer there, Clarence Darrow, said, this was his big premise. He said, quote, this is his big cry, it is bigotry to only teach one view of origin. He said, quote, students should be taught both creation and evolution theories. Did you catch that? It's bigotry, he said, to only teach one view of origin. Students should be taught both creation and evolution theories. Okay? And so that's actually what we have. You talk about hypocrisy? We have actually this trial in reverse. Evolution is now the only theory that is taught, while creationism and intelligent design are completely banned. Who's being the real hypocrite here, folks? And again, with you, this issue, let me share with you, folks, how deep this lie really goes. Okay? Evolution says, as we just talked about on the first half of the program tonight, Dr. Interview, is we expose the scientific information on just a few animals, just a few, a handful, folks, and we go into greater detail in this study, that shows it's impossible for these animals to evolve. And yet evolution, talk about a liar, liar, pants on fire, takes it even further and says that not only animals evolve, but then they have the audacity to say that man evolved from animals. You know, the whole missing link thing. And again, by the way, this shouldn't be a surprise. You teach kids that they came from an ape. Why are we shocked when you act like apes? People behave based on what they believe. So if we tell people there is no God, why are we shocked when they act so ungodly? But again, let's put it to the test. That we're being drilled in our heads that we came from an animal, we came from an ape, came from a chimpanzee, whatever it is. And then they say all these missing links. We got proof for man evolved from apes. Really? Let's take a look just very quickly at just a couple of these classic missing links. And I think, folks, the only thing that you'll find missing is the truth, okay? Nebraska Man is one of the big classic ones. In 1922, scientists discovered a fossil that was reported to be 1 million years old, and it was heralded as the missing link in human evolution, and it was called Nebraska Man because it was found in, that's right, Nebraska. Must have been a guy thing. Anyway, so it was found by this guy, a paleontologist called Henry Osborne, and he said it combined the characteristics of chimpanzees and man. And this fossil became famous because it was used as evidence for what? For evolution in the Scopes monkey trial. You know, the sham that I just read earlier. Okay, so this was their big evidence, this guy, Nebraska Man. For many years, folks, evolutionists described this Nebraska Man as the missing link. The only problem was it didn't belong, what they found, did not belong to any type of human. It did not belong to an ape. It was actually just one tooth, and that tooth was the tooth of a pig. Folks, check it out yourself. Talk about lying. They built a whole imaginary society, a whole lifestyle, around a single pig tooth. They built the entire Nebraska Man out of plaster in Paris and tons of imagination. And get this, they even built the guy a wife, had Nebraska Man and his wife. As one guy said, man, you got to be pretty good to know what this guy's wife looks like from his tooth. And by the way, it wasn't even his tooth, it was the tooth of a pig. And yet they told people, oh, absolutely, this is a missing link. It's a lie. Here's another lie. How about Piltdown Man? For more than 50 years, folks, we were led to believe that Piltdown Man was the ancestor of modern man, the missing link. He was found in what remains were found were in a gravel pit in England, okay? And it was supposed to be the second most important fossil proving the evolution of man. But when they began to take a closer look, two scientists, by the way, they found out, shocker, Piltdown Man was a fraud. Okay, what they found out is the original discoverers took a human skull and an ape's jawbone, they filed them down and made them fit together. Then they treated them with acid so they would look old, then they buried them in that gravel pit in England, okay, and voila, they discovered Piltdown Man. 500 people, folks, actually studied the fossil remains of Piltdown Man, wrote their PhD dissertations on them, earned their doctorate's degree, and the whole time it was a stupid fraud. And here's the point. For decades, boys and girls going to our school systems, folks, were taught that this guy was absolute proof of evolution. The whole time it was a lie. Okay? Gee, I'm sure that they would stop there. They wouldn't keep doing it. Are you kidding me, folks? The classic one, Neanderthal Man, is just as much a bunch of baloney. First of all, it was found in the Neander Valley in Germany. That's where you get Neanderthal Man. Back in 1856, it was one of the first ones that they were proposing. And then later in 1908, a professor in Paris declared that Neanderthal Man was an ignorant, knuckle-dragging, ape-like man. You know, that's why you see on the Geico commercials today. And they said that because he had low eyebrow ridges and a stooped-over posture. But that's right, folks. Upon closer examination, it was discovered that Neanderthal Man was just as human as us. They know this, folks. They're lying. They still use this today. It's a lie, and they know it's a lie. Okay, the stooped-over appearance that the remains had was because of arthritis and rickets, okay, a vitamin deficiency. The Neanderthal skeleton they found, folks, was bent over, not because he was slowly evolving, coming up. He was an old man with arthritis slowly going down, okay? And as far as the low eyebrow ridges and the long sloping forehead, folks, people still alive today have those same characteristics. You're going to call them a Neanderthal? I don't recommend it. Furthermore, when they began to explore the area, they began to see these guys weren't so knuckle-dragging ape-like at all, period. They were skilled hunters. There was evidence they were believers in the afterlife, and they were even surgeons. Excuse me? And yet, Neanderthal man, that's right, folks, is still in textbooks right now and was proven wrong more than 50 years ago. Okay? And that's just the tip of the iceberg. I think one of the funniest ones, and it's not really funny, but it's like, you got to be kidding me. They keep finding these things, quote-unquote, because they keep getting these lies exposed, so they got to go out and find out some more bones. One of them was called Orse Man, O-R-C-E, okay? And it was because it was found in a Spanish town called Orse, or Orc, however you pronounce it, in 1982. And it was hailed as the oldest fossilized human remains ever found in Europe. In fact, scientists said the skull belonged to a 17-year-old man who lived 900,000 to 1.6 million years ago. And they even made very detailed drawings as to what he would look like. But only 1 year later, they admitted, well, the skull fragment they found, it wasn't from a human. It was a four-month-old donkey. Excuse me? And then the classic one that they're lying to us one is Lucy, folks. This is the biggest lie. Anyway, Lucy was discovered back in 1974 in Ethiopia by a guy named Donald Johansson. By the way, he was running out of his grant money, and he better find something quick, or his money's done. And he found something, all right. It sure wasn't a missing link, though. First of all, he named it after the Beatles song Lucy, Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds, and which is the acronym for LSD, by the way, but whatever. Anyway, that's the tip of the iceberg. What scattered bones he did find, get this, folks, he found them in totally different locations, and I mean a long ways apart. First of all, the knee joint that he found, that he said was Lucy's, was a mile and a half away from the rest of the skeleton. And like what one guy said. He says, man, how fast was that train going when it hit that monkey? Okay, a mile and a half away. That's a long ways away. And then you're going to say, aha, absolutely. This is the knee joint of that creature a mile and a half away that other direction. Give me a break. Okay, and then he said, aha, Lucy was becoming a human due to the fact that she has a straight femur. Okay, or that an ape has a straight femur, but Lucy's knee was angled to the side like a human's. Well, although it is true that monkeys that walk on the ground, folks, do have a straight femur, monkeys that climb trees, they have an angled femur. And so all it shows is she was a tree-climbing monkey as opposed to one that walked on the ground. And then you talk about pure propaganda, folks. If that wasn't bad enough, the St. Louis Zoo put up a display of Lucy with human feet on her. Okay? And you know how many feet bones they found of her? Zero. It was pure propaganda. As it turns out, folks, believe it or not, Lucy is just a tree-climbing monkey. Some feel that there are still, might even be alive today, okay, in Sumatra down near Vietnam. There's no missing link at all. And then the latest one, of course, was the one that they came out this year, made the headlines. Oh, it's the big proof. This is it. This is the nail in the coffin. We know. And it's called IDA. IDA is the latest supposed missing link. First of all, the fossil was found in two parts by amateur fossil hunters back in 1983. And it's just now surfacing? That's kind of fishy. And so eventually, but folks, once they begin to look at it, once again, it has nothing to do with evolution, and there's not one thing in this fossil that suggests it's anything other than an extinct lemur-like creature. Okay? It is not even has to do with a chimpanzee or nothing, let alone a human. It's all a complete lie. In fact, folks, when you start to corner these guys on this, they even admit it. And Dr. Montitas, it was my pleasure on this series over and over again to not just provide the scientific information for people to use their own brains and discover how much they're being lied to and brainwashed. And by the way, remember why they're doing this, folks, because they're using this as the premise to do population control to annihilate you and usher in the New World Order. But anyway, so we even share on their actual quotes from the evolutionists, not the Christian, lest you think we're just biased, but the evolutionists who admit, folks, that they know it's a lie. Let me just read a couple of them to you. Anthropologist Dr. Tim White, he said this. He said, the problem with a lot of anthropologists is that they want so much to find a hominid that any scrap of bone becomes hominid bone. Okay? You make anything you want. That's just like with Lucy. He found a bone a mile and a half away. Well, it looks like it works for me. Okay, another evolutionist, T.L. Moore, he said, the more one studies paleontology, the more certain one becomes that evolution is based on faith alone. Huh, that's pretty interesting. Anthropologist E.A. Hooten, he said, from a Neanderthal skull, an artist can fashion the features of a chimpanzee or a philosopher, and that it is wise to not put your faith in reconstructions. Lord Zuckerman, he was a British anatomist, he said, if man evolved from an ape-like creature, there is not even a trace of such evidence in the fossil record. And big-time evolutionist Miles Eldridge, here's what he said. Listen to this. At least there was a moment of truth. He said, we paleontologists have said that the history of life supports the story of gradual adaptive change, all the while knowing, really, that it does not. Excuse me, folks. That's straight, if you will, from the horse's mouth. And we're supposed to buy into this. The only thing that they have going for them, folks, if they have control of the media, they have control of the educational system, and they know the axiom. If you repeat a lie loud enough, long enough, often enough, people will believe it. And that's what we're trying to do, Dr. Monteith, is to get people equipped with the truth, use your own brain, and so that you will get out under from beneath this lie. And I like what one guy had said. He said, gee whiz, man, all these eight-man accounts are obviously a bunch of baloney. They're a bunch of lies. And the guy says, man, come on. If all you have is lies to support your theory, maybe it's time to get a new theory, okay? And again, folks, you have to understand that when you put these people on the spot, they actually admit it. They know this is all based on a pack of lies. Listen to this. Dr. Colin Patterson, he's the senior paleontologist for the British Museum of Natural History. Listen to what he said. This was a keynote address at the American Museum of Natural History in New York City, November 5th, 1981. There you go, completely cited the source. Here's what he said. He said, here's the question that I posed. He said, to his colleagues, he said, can you tell me anything you know, my fellow colleagues, about evolution? Any one thing that is true? He said, I tried that question on the geology staff at the Field Museum of Natural History, and the only answer I got was silence. I tried it on the members of the Evolutionary Morphology Seminar in the University of Chicago, a very prestigious body of evolutionists, and all I got there was silence for a long time. And eventually one person said, quote, I do know one thing, it ought not to be taught in high school. That's straight from the evolutionists themselves, folks. They know it's not true. It's a lie. They don't want there to be a God because they want to follow their ungodly desires. And those behind the New World Order conspiracy have to keep this lie going because they're using it to lead you and I into slavery.
And what we really need, of course, is for people to learn the facts. And this is why Pastor Billy's 10-DVD series on creation is one of the best things I've ever seen. Our telephone number, well, we won't give it out now because we're just about out of time, but I guess it's been Pastor Billy Crone from the Niagara Frontier Bible Church, and we'll be back here in just a moment to wrap up tonight's program here at Radio Liberty. Well, Pastor Billy, you got 3 minutes to wrap up the program.
Oh, hey, great. Hey, just one last thing, because this one usually comes out.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look. And I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Well, you know, America is changing, but most of the changes that are taking place seem to be designed to take away our freedom. And what can you do to remedy the current situation? Well, you can become informed, and one of the best ways to become informed is to subscribe to Republic Magazine, because that magazine provides the information that's suppressed in most other news magazines. If you want to oppose the effort to establish a one-world government, if you want to preserve freedom here in the United States and throughout the world, I suggest you subscribe to Republic Magazine, and you can do that by calling 1-800-873-1620. That's 800-873-1620, or access their website at www.republicmagazine.com. That's republicmagazine.com. I suggest you get extra copies for your family and your friends.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights.
The issue is not evolution or creation. This is a battle of worldviews, and those who would disprove the existence of God wish to enslave us. That's what it's all about. And, of course, if they get away with it, why, the America we've known will never, never possibly be regained. Well, this is the time when I just want to mention we do carry Pastor Crone's 10-DVD set, The Final Countdown. We carry his 10-DVD set, and you get it in two parts. Creation, a 4-DVD set on RFID identification, a 1-DVD, which is his testimony on how he became a Christian, titled Get a Life. But you can give us a call at 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927, and to get a list of the things that Pastor Crone has that we carry, or you certainly can go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com, and get the information. And then, of course, we want to remind you, Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported, and we do hope that some of you out there would be in a position to help us as we try to maintain our network of some 60 radio outlets every week, because the more people we can reach with the truth, the better it will be. We want to remind you about our all-day seminar. It's going to be on the 25th of October. We hope you can come. That's the all-day seminar, the 25th of October at the Aptos Seascape Golf Course here in the North Shore of Monterey Bay in California. Got a great lineup of speakers, Dr. Catherine Albrecht, William Gregg, Ashley Moat, Tom Horn will be here. Hope you can come. You're going to have a reservation because we're serving lunch and we have to know how many people are coming. And then, of course, we hope that you'll go to our website, radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com, where you can listen to our programs on the Internet, certainly 9 hours a day, and not get much done, but you'll get a lot of education. Some of it will be a little repetitive. We do 4 hours of live radio there. We have another program early in the morning on AmericanNewsNet.com, the American Freedom Network, and you can get information on that at our website. And then, of course, we hope many of you will want to get some of the other items that we have that will help you to understand that we're involved in a spiritual battle for the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization. You need to either read my book or watch my DVD, The Brotherhood of Darkness, goes into the secret societies that have been around for 5,000 years. And the spiritual force that energizes the wealthy men who are betraying our nation and intend to take us into this one world government. The globalists who are in the process of transferring our jobs and our wealth and our manufacturing sites to other countries. They know what they're doing. They just don't want you common people to know. You want to get my talk on the financial Armageddon, and the syllabus goes with that. They've created this whole financial collapse, and they have no intention of curing the problem. Prepare for another move down. I believe it's coming in the not-too-distant future. Another major collapse. You'll certainly want to get my talk on the forbidden secret, because there is a forbidden secret, a secret that's been passed down for 5,000 years through the secret societies and mystery religions and the Kabbalists and the Gnostics and the Theosophists and the Templars and the Rosicrucians and the Illuminists and the Masons. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, the message is there. It's just that nobody ever hears, because they control the media. And if you don't believe they do, you need to get the excellent DVD by Pat Wood, talk he gave at our last conference, called The Trilateral Commission. They own the media in America. We have a syllabus. It's called the membership list of the Brotherhood of Darkness. We simply list all the people in the various organizations, a list that you will find difficult to get, and they control all the major media outlets, but they don't want you to know that. And then, of course, we hope you'll tell other people about our program. Get them to start to listen. Again, our number, 1-800-544-8927. And please pray for America. Pray for revival, but pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and for our protection. This is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion and delusion, that will determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And, well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Ellen Brown. And Ellen certainly has written some very provocative articles carried on the Internet. We've had her on our programs before. Some very original thinking. You know, it's very interesting as we see what's happening across America. And through the miracle of the Internet and to radio and shortwave, and why, of course, we're having people able to come forward and have an impact on the discussion. I'm just an average individual, a retired orthopedic surgeon who decided I wanted to do talk radio and try to reach people. Our good friend Alex Jones did the same thing. He's got this great number of stations that listen to him. Certainly Pastor Butch Paul, our good friend Chuck Chrismeyer. Chuck Chrismeyer was an attorney, and God called him into the radio ministry. He's doing a great job of writing, and of course his radio programs heard across the country, same with Joyce Riley. Everybody's having an opportunity to get information out, but Ellen certainly has some fascinating information. We always enjoy having her with us. She's written a very interesting article really on what's going on in China and what they're doing with their authoritarian system as far as addressing the current economic collapse. Now, you have to understand that the monetary system in America, in my estimation, has been intentionally collapsed. And our leaders make all sorts of protestations that they're trying to cure this and, oh, we're going to save the homeowners. Just give us $700 billion, we'll save the collapsing housing market. And then they decided not to give that. They decided to give it the money to the banks to protect the banks so the banks could start lending again, but they forgot to tell the banks they were supposed to lend the money. The banks aren't lending the money. And it's not that they don't have any money. They can borrow money at 0% from the Fed and lend it out at 5, 10, 15, 20%. It's that they do not want to lend the money because they do not want to solve the problem. But let's get Ellen's thoughts about what's going on. Ellen, thank you so very much for being with us.
Thanks, Dr. Stan. Always great to talk to you.
Well, what would you like to talk about tonight? Would you like to talk about China? Ellen's come up with some very good thoughts on one of the solutions would be to try to get a state bank, state banks, such as they have in North Dakota. But what would you like to talk about?
The state bank option is my passion at the moment. I do think that's the solution, largely because I think it's just hopeless to try to get anything through Congress. They're so controlled by the bankers themselves, whereas a state bank is something that we could do. I mean, arguably, you can do an initiative in California. You can't do an initiative federally. The people do not have the power to band together and to bring an initiative to pass some legislation on the federal level, but in many states we do have that power. But if we couldn't do it on the state level, we could even just do it on a local level, just to show the possibilities of an honest bank that's actually actually trying to service the community, and where the interest would go back to the community, which would own the bank.
And I think the significant thing is you must understand the major banks are not lending. You cannot have a vibrant economy unless you have banks creating money. They have to act responsibly, and they can't be, of course, multiplying this 10, 30, 40, 50 times as they are. But you have to understand the big banks right now are not lending, and they're intentionally not lending. They're constricting the credit. The small banks, Fed's actually paying them not to loan. They're not trying to solve the problem. We can't let the common people know that. Well, you picked this story up there, Ellen.
Sorry, I thought that was a break. Yes, I totally agree, and I agree with your premise that this collapse is intentional. It was actually, in fact, I think it's global. I think we're being pushed from abroad, and that the Bank for International Settlements is the head of the private central banking system, and they collapsed the Chinese banks in 1998 with their Basel I capital requirements, and then in 2004 they came out with Basel II, and that was actually responsible for our current collapse here. And it was interpreted as the mark-to-market rule, which is not a bad rule. The mark-to-market rule says that banks have to value their capital according to the latest market price of that asset. So, for instance, if they have collateralized debt obligations, which nobody wants to buy, they were marking them to fantasy, it was said. In other words, they were saying, well, they're still valuable assets because they're paying income to the banks, so they're not going to write them off. But if they tried to sell them that day, nobody would want them. So if you mark it to market, they're actually worth zero. Well, that means the problem with the rule is that the banks already had all these loans outstanding, and they already had valued their capital a certain way. So then if you come in the middle and you say, new rules, you have to value your capital a different way, and you don't have the capital base that you need to make all these loans you already made, then there's a credit freeze because either they have to call in loans or at least they can't make more loans like they were making. They couldn't no longer, like, just keep selling them, bundling up the loans and selling them off to investors because the investors don't want them anymore because they've figured out that that whole thing was a scam, the collateralized debt obligations that were wrapped in derivatives. I'm probably going too fast here, but anyway, the point is that it was rules imposed from abroad that have actually caused this current credit freeze. I just read an article on Lehman Brothers collapse. Now that, too, looks highly suspicious. They only let that one bank go down, and they let it go down in such a way that it caused a panic in the money markets. They didn't have to let it go down in that way. They could have done it like General Motors, where they let everybody know ahead of time, and they deal with the creditors, and everybody knows what to expect, and they say, don't worry, folks, we're, you know, we've got everything in hand, and we're going to come in and, you know, sell off this part of the bank. And that
hold that thought. We'll be back here in just a moment with Ellen. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Ellen Brown is our guest this evening, and she was just talking about simply the collapse of Lehman Brothers, and this is a very, very important issue. People have to remember that it was Bear Stearns who went down on the 15th of March of 2008, and basically somebody created a run on the bank. And Bear Stearns, one of the largest banks, one of the major investment banks on Wall Street, and somebody put the word out that they were in financial problems. Somebody got the banks to start pulling all of their money out of Bear Stearns. Bear Stearns had $17 billion in their holdings on Thursday or Friday, and by Sunday they had nothing. The government could have stepped in and protected Bear Stearns. Instead, they simply turned their assets over to J.P. Morgan and Company, and then gave J.P. Morgan, which incidentally is part and parcel of what I call the Brotherhood of Darkness, they gave them $30 billion so they could simply steal all the assets of Bear Stearns. And then 6 months later, the 15th of September, while Lehman Brothers found itself in a similar position, the government could have intervened, and of course, had they done that, they did it with General Motors, they did it with AIG. They refused to do it with Lehman Brothers, and I personally think that they wanted to bring down this whole economic system. They wanted to create a crisis because that was how they were going to get the man they wanted in the White House, and it was beautifully orchestrated. And there's a new book out. It's called In the Fed We Trust, where the author interviews people all throughout the world, and everybody said, why, we never thought that the federal government would, let Lehman Brothers go down. It was too large to fail. Well, they didn't have to let it go down. They let it go down, and only now are people beginning to look back on it and say, hey, that really doesn't make sense. But then so much of what goes on today doesn't make sense. Go ahead, Ellen.
Well, and it went down because it was massively, massively naked shorts. There were massive naked short sales on September 11th, interestingly enough. That was the day that it collapsed. And then it filed for formal bankruptcy on September 15th. But the thing that prompted the bailouts was actually on September 18th, which also doesn't make a lot of sense, except for the fact that on September 17th, there was an even larger surge of naked short selling. Naked short selling is where short selling is legal. That's where although I think it should be illegal too, but anyway, short selling is where you sell stock you don't own. But what you're supposed to do is find stock to borrow, then you sell that into the market, and then you cover by buying stock back. You're presuming it'll be a lower price. You think it's going down, and so then you pocket the difference between the price you first sold it at and the price you bought it back at. But in naked short sales, you don't even bother to locate shares to borrow, and you never cover. So that's totally illegal. And
but the SEC allows these illegal things to go on. This is the incredible thing. They know it's illegal, and they not only allow it, they allow this sort of thing to go on. They allow people to violate the rules, and with that, of course, was the beginning of the collapse of our economic system. Did the SEC just not know what was going on? Of course they knew what was going on. They know that the markets are rigged, and they know they were doing naked short selling totally illegally and yet they allowed it to happen.
And they said that the SEC said they were investigating, but that was a year ago, and they've never announced any results of any investigation. I mean, we the people have no leverage here. They just do what they want. When AIG went bankrupt, you know, they got a huge amount of money. They got first $85 billion, and now I think it's up to $150 billion. And they wouldn't even give California needed $26 billion, and they wouldn't even give us a loan, even a short-term loan, whereas they actually just handed over the money to AIG. So all the people in the room were government people, except the head of Goldman Sachs was in there negotiating this whole bailout of AIG. Well, Goldman Sachs made off like a bandit. They got $12 trillion for their credit default swaps, which are sheer and utter gambling. I mean, there's no reason that the U.S. government or we, the taxpayers, should be paying off Goldman Sachs for their credit default swaps. And that, there's a clear law that says it's a conflict of interest to be in there negotiating something that you get money out of. But no, there's nobody to enforce this law. The head of J.P. Morgan was sitting in on those negotiations where J.P. Morgan got $30 billion to buy out Bear Stearns. But there's nobody to lock them up for violating a... I mean, the law that says that this is a conflict of interest, the penalty includes going to jail. But nobody goes to jail for these things. In fact, nobody even raises the issue.
Well, we raise the issue and we try to get people to think, but there is a government, in my estimation, behind the government that's here. Anybody wants to get into that, we cover that certainly in the DVD we have on the Trilateral Commission by Pat Wood. But, you know, we have an invisible government and they're above the law. They make the law. And, of course, I think we're seeing the greatest transfer of wealth that has ever occurred in the history of mankind is taking place today as the wealth of the American people is being transferred to a small group of very wealthy bankers, and that money, I'm sure, is being sequestered elsewhere in other countries for the time when our whole economy collapses. But go right ahead, Ellen.
Mm-hmm. Well, what I'm just writing about now, the Federal Reserve for a while there was... buying the government's bonds. They bought $300 billion in government bonds last spring. I guess this is a whole other subject, but anyway, they were buying federal debt, and then everybody was worried that that was inflationary. The Chinese are threatening to not monetize our debt if we're going to be monetizing our own. Everybody thinks that's going to cause inflation. But in fact, I would argue that that's what should happen. The government's own bank should be monetizing the government's debt. And the prime example is Canada. During the period that, when Canada first had a central bank, it's government owned, and it bought the government's debt. And during that period, it was like right up until the Milton Friedman period of the 1970s, the monetarist period where everybody started worrying about stagflation. During that period, they had a booming economy. They were highly productive, because they were actually putting some money out there into productive things. That's what the government's supposed to be doing. But we don't have any funding for our government, so we go begging to the Chinese or we raise taxes. I mean, it's a system in which we're trying to get out of debt by going further into debt. You need to create some money here. And the way to create it is to borrow from your own central bank, which creates it. If we borrowed from the Fed, we get it interest-free. That's the difference. If we borrow from the Chinese, we have to pay interest on it. Plus, we're beholden to the Chinese, and we have to listen to what they want in terms of policy.
Well, no, but let's just take this one step down the line. Isn't this what happened in Zimbabwe, where the government just kept creating money and suddenly creating more and more and more money to try to get the economy stabilized? When you have suddenly a government, as our federal government is, it's dedicated to shipping our jobs overseas. You know, for instance, we saw the government providing 50 $1 billion for General Motors with the idea they're going to create jobs, and they are creating jobs. They're creating jobs in China and in Russia and in Brazil and certainly in India, but they're not creating jobs in the United States. Certainly what Canada did was try to build up their own economy with the money. Right. What our government is doing is transferring money to countries throughout the world. This is last 2 weeks. We actually insured or guaranteed a $2.5 or $3 billion loan for Brazil so they could drill for oil off their coast, and we're giving, you know, $3 billion to Israel every year, and we're giving $3 billion to Egypt, and we're giving, you know, money to the Palestinian Liberation Forces, and we're giving the money to the Pakistani government, but we certainly are not spending the money here to develop industry at home. And in the industry, we've certainly given Chrysler away, and we gave it to Fiat, and they're opening new plants in Mexico and in Italy. But how could you possibly, you know, create money, you know, when the government's giving the money away to build up industry in other countries? That doesn't make
any sense.
Exactly.
It's all in what it's used for, exactly. In that same stroke of a pen where last March when Ben Bernanke said he was going to fund $300 billion in government debt, they gave $700 billion to banks. And that money stops at the banks. Like you said, they're not making loans. It's not trickling down into the consumer economy. In fact, they stopped it on purpose because the argument is, well, if you let that money go into the consumer economy, that'll drive up prices. But the whole point was to get money into the consumer economy. So they call it sterilizing it, where they let the banks buy bonds, you know, so they've traded the bonds for this dodgy collateral on the books of the banks.
Well, you know, one of the things that really disturbs me is that certainly Goldman Sachs, which of course, has been got this tremendous transfer of money from AIG, which was American taxpayer money. AIG just acted as a shell for the transfer of, I think, $185 billion, of which at least $12.5 billion went to Goldman Sachs. But Goldman Sachs is talking about paying about $20 billion a year in bonuses to its employees. Certainly J.P. Morgan Chase is talking about $14 billion to its employees. J.P. Morgan is talking, Morgan Stanley, $11 billion to its employees. How is that going to help the average American? How is that going to get our economy moving if we're transferring the wealth of our nation to the bankers so they can pay all those bonuses to their executives? Who can invest it? I suspect most of them are not investing in the United States. They're still investing overseas in other countries. So this money is being systematically taken from America. Ben Bernanke has invested $2 trillion. We don't know where it's gone. A lot of it's gone to banks overseas. How is that going to help get America moving again if we let them create all sorts of money? And I don't know where the money came from, but I know it didn't go to help our economy. Go right ahead, Ellen.
Yeah. Well, here's the difference. This is
gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine, so Radio Liberty has produced a four-tape or a four-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that will protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Berkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Berkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
To do another assessment on the banks, which means the small banks, the responsible banks, the ones that did not get messed up with all these derivatives, they're going to have to pay extra insurance. The FDIC is basically an insurance company for the banks. They're going to have to pay extra out of their capital. That's going to come out of their capital base, which means they can't make as many loans. So we're shutting off the banks that were acting reasonably, cutting down the number of loans they can make, and maybe putting them into bankruptcy in order to have more FDIC insurance to cover the bad banks that are going bankrupt because they got into hot water with their derivatives bets, their gambles.
Well, of course, supposedly the FDIC has a $500 billion line of credit with the Treasury Department. But where is the Treasury going to get the money? The Treasury doesn't have $500 million to lend to the FDIC, which is a supposedly a quasi-private insurance company. So
I thought it was a credit line with the Fed, which means money.
I could be mistaken. I wouldn't. You may very well be right. Anyway, of course, they have I believe it's with the Treasury because the Fed. Can create the money. Treasury has to get the Fed to create the money. The Treasury doesn't have any money. Well, I'll tell you what. While you're talking, I will look it up here and find out. Okay.
Okay.
Go ahead.
So that's why I think state banks are the first place we should go, because a state bank, first of all, it has huge amounts of capital. Capital is just what you own, and a state owns a lot of things. They own real estate. They own parks. They have all these tax revenues coming in. So when a bank examiner looks at a state-owned bank's books, they will see all the assets of the state there as capital. So that bank can then lend huge amounts at very low interest. they could lend basically interest free to government agencies that needed the money. And again, it should all be geared toward production. They should put limits on what kind of credit the bank is going to issue. It should be issuing credit to productive enterprises. If you had a state bank that was just geared toward, call it a green bank or a development bank, and it was just geared toward development, and it created money on its books the way all banks do, and lent it to enterprises, say, a housing development. So it would lend it to the housing development. They would build the housing for all these homeless people and people who have been turned out of their homes but from foreclosure, build low-cost housing. Then the rents would go back to pay off the loan. So it's not like you're just pumping money out there that doesn't come back, but you have to start the credit somewhere, and the ideal place to start it is with a state bank with a clean set of books with plenty of capital so it can satisfy all the regulators' requirements. It can also have plenty of deposits if it puts its own revenues in its own bank, which is what North Dakota does. All their state's revenues by law go into the state-owned bank, the Bank of North Dakota.
Well, of course, the problem is, I think it's a great idea. The problem is, it would have been a lot better idea a couple of years ago. Right now, why, of course, we're talking about, say, the state of California. If they were to start a state bank, California is having to borrow money just to pay its bills, you know. There's something like a couple of hundred billion dollars really in debt. You know, they've got their pension requirements and their bonds they've got to pay off. California would only have just the money temporarily that they were using to take money in so they could pay money out. Wherever the state bank get the initial funds that they would need, you know, to have a major bank?
Well, I don't think they actually need any money. That's the point. I mean, technically, nowadays you can have an internet bank, so you don't even need a building. But it always looks good to have a building, so let's say they take over some state building that they already have, or at least have an office, and all the rest can be done electronically, so that part doesn't take money. That's what I'm saying. They've got the capital. When a regulator looks at the capital of a bank, that you don't set that capital aside. It's the money of your stock that you got from your stockholders. It's the value of your building. Well, we've got that. We've got all those assets already. And then for the deposits, put your own revenues in the bank. It's not like you spend. It's not like you take those revenues out of circulation. You just deposit them in the bank, and then the way you do ordinary banking, you use that bank for your banking needs, and it's from that all banks create many times that sum and loan.
All right, we'll be back in just a moment with Ellen Brown. If you have a question or comment, our number 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295.
Land that I love can be found.
And, of course, that's Kate Smith on God Bless America. And we'll be right back here in just a moment with Ellen Brown as we explore what's going on and look, try to look logically at the unfolding of events. But if you try to look logically at what's going on, none of this makes sense unless perhaps there is another agenda. And we'll be back in just a moment with Ellen. We'll welcome your calls. Well, this is Dr. Stan, our guest this evening, Ellen Brown, and she writes a lot of provocative articles. And Ellen, do you have a website you'd like to get out?
My website is webofdebt.com.
One more time, what is that?
Webofdebt.com.
Webofdebt.com. That should be easy to remember. And
that's the name of my book on this subject, too.
All right. And, of course, it's a very, very provocative book, and certainly we recommend it to you. Well, if you're out there in the listening audience, you have a question or comment, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Well, last month you'll be happy to know that we excelled. Yes, sir, we had the greatest deficit, the trade deficit we've ever had, something like $32 billion, something in that neighborhood, the largest trade deficit we've ever had. And, of course, a lot of this goes to import oil. We've got lots of oil, but they've consistently blocked our development of oil, whether it be up in Alaska, certainly the Arctic Wildlife Reserve, the massive shale deposits we have. We have the largest shale deposits in the world. We have the largest natural gas deposits in the world, but they're, of course, blocking their development. We're in the process, of course, at one time we were one of the agricultural leaders, but right now, because of the endangered 3-inch smelt in the Sacramento Delta, why, of course, we're cutting off water, we're letting it run out to the ocean, rather than giving it to the farmers, and we're simply closing down the agriculture in the Central Valley, and, of course, this tremendous drought in Oklahoma and Texas, and a lot of our farms are having real problems with their crops. And America is, but of course we can always import food from other countries and with that transfer our wealth to other nations. And that would appear to be exactly what our leaders are doing. Certainly, we used to have 250,000 people employed in the automotive industry, and by the end of December we'll have 40,000 as we transfer our automotive jobs to other countries, as we give money to General Motors so they can open up their plants in Brazil and Russia and India and China, and they're just opening new plants in China as we speak. And nobody ever asks, well, why are we opening, giving money to our corporations to open up their plants overseas, and why do we give them special tax breaks to open up their plants overseas, and why do we give them all sorts of advantages for taking jobs out of the United States and keep our tariffs with no tariffs here so that there's no way a worker who's making $20 an hour can compete with a worker who'll work for $2 a day as they do in China. So, Ellen, a lot of what's going on just doesn't make any sense, does it?
Well, unless, like you say, there's another agenda. I mean, I agree. I think what's happening is there is an attempt to make us into a third world country because, I mean, we're just the last domino to fall. All those other countries are also wealthy. I mean, Africa, look at the resources in Africa, but they have been kept from having their own resources. They've been exploited. Well, now we, too, are being exploited. And the idea is to reduce the world to desperation so that, including us, you know, you can't have one nation that is just sitting on top of everything, and particularly since we've had the reserve currency for all these years. So they have to bring us down to the level of everybody else so that we'll all be welcome with open arms their global government and global currency issued privately by their global central bank and their global regulation. Well, in fact, they've already got their global regulator. We just agreed, our president just agreed to the Financial Stability Board, that was in April at the G20, which will be a global regulator for all financial things. So it's all very vague what we've agreed to, and I would argue that the president did not have the authority to agree to this because it's actually a treaty, which is supposed to have a two-thirds Senate vote to be approved, because we're basically the Financial Stability Board can set any kind of rules for all sorts of anything financial, including, well, the one thing that everybody seems to agree on is that there should be a cap on CEO salaries. So that's the type of thing they focus on. It's the good cases make bad law, you know, where they take the extreme case and everybody says, oh, yeah, we should regulate that globally. So then they agree we need global regulation. But in those rules that we've just agreed to are very vague and broad areas that this board can regulate, and it's not set up, it's not revealed how the board gets there, how they're elected, whether they have to have a certain vote before they can pass a rule. All that's just left to some future negotiation.
I share your concern. Well, we've got Tony calling from Santa Cruz. Let's see what he'd like to talk about. And our telephone number again is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. And hi, Tony. How are you doing?
Hi, Dr. Stan. I listen sporadically, and today I just came in and I listened to about 5 minutes of Ms. Brown's talk, and there seemed to be some confusion about how the money, if you establish a state bank, and I'm sure I can help or at least ask the proper questions to get Ms. Brown to elucidate.
All right, go right ahead.
How the fractional banking system works, and your screener knew that there is a state bank. Is it South Dakota or North Dakota?
North Dakota.
Okay. So the way I understand the fractional banking system, anybody in California with $2 million of assets can establish a bank. At least that's the way it used to be a few years back. And once you establish that you have $2 million, you can loan out $20 million, because, or at least nine times what you have. Mm-hmm. And the idea being that if you pick your customers properly, they will be paying payments back, and so the thing will work as long as you don't have any major defaults or the bank crashes for some reason, like some criminal activity. So what happens is, if you just took a whole bunch of California money, we're the eighth largest economy in the world, even though it seems pretty screwed up, we're still a very powerful financial entity. So if we just took all our money and put it in one place, called it a state bank, we could start paying out nine times what we have in the bank. That's the definition of a fractional bank, a banking system bank. Am I correct on that, Ms. Brown?
Yes, I've heard that from bankers. Of course, that's what all the authorities say. The Federal Reserve says it itself.
That's how bankers get all of their power, the power of the dollar, and their authority.
Yeah, and I've also heard that when the way a bank really works is that when a customer walks in, like one of their good corporate clients or whatever, and wants a loan, they give them the loan. They don't worry about, they don't look to make sure that they're giving like 90% of their, you know, they don't look at what deposits they have. They don't look at their capital. They only look at deposits and capital every 3 months when the regulator comes around.
Who is this? I missed this. I want to try to eliminate as much confusion as I can. Who is doing what to whom? You're saying the bank does not care who it loans the money to?
No. I'm saying if it's a good client and they know that they're going to get paid back, like you said, it's a good credit risk.
Right.
They don't worry about, it's not like they take in $10,000 and then they say, okay, now we can lend $9,000.
They just
make a loan on their books.
Yeah.
And then when the regulator comes around every 3 months, then they look to see if they've got 10% in reserve, you know, 10% deposits relative to their loans, or whether they've got the capital requirement covered. And if they don't, what they do is either they borrow some extra reserves from the money market, or if they can't get it there, if they have to, they resort to borrowing from the Fed. And if they haven't met their capital requirement, they sell off some of their loans to their friendly local banker next door. And then when the regulator leaves, they buy the loans back.
I'm hoping I'm not confusing everybody, but
you're putting a very good presentation now, Tony.
Related,
that's exactly how it would go. Okay. And the thing is that if you had a state bank, you see, what we need, what Ellen's point is we need a state bank that's interested in the economy of our state. So
right.
If the state then would take all the money that they get in taxes, what little there is, and put it in there, that would at least for a temporary period of time, why it would increase the bank's assets, then they could increase their loans. So as long as they were getting enough money in, and certainly then they could begin loaning, and on the fractional reserve banking system, they could begin creating credit here in
exactly.
the state of California
exactly.
so people could borrow money to begin putting in businesses. So go right ahead.
And, yes, Alan touched on the fact that they can borrow funds, and they have the overnight, they can borrow money at this time for no interest. Is that correct? I mean, it's like almost no interest at all, so they can get the Fed to give them enough money to tide them over for a few days, and then they pay it back. As soon as they accumulate the proper amount, they pay the money back. So it's a very friendly system. If you want to have a bank, seems to me it should work, and you should be able to multiply your money by at least 9 times. If you just put it in what you call your own bank.
And yet, of course, we've already lost 91 banks so far this year.
Right.
We'll probably lose another 3,000 or 4,000 banks during the next couple of years. A lot of these banks, which have been playing the system, as you say, but they made these foolish purchases of these collateralized debt obligations and
right.
derivatives, and that's where they got into trouble. They started gambling rather than using solid investment principles.
I also understand that a lot of people were defaulting on their loans because of the economy.
Right.
They did not expect.
And the commercial loans, a lot of them are very heavily in commercial loans.
Exactly.
At least, you know, half, two-thirds of those commercial loans are going down in the next couple of years. So this bank would have one advantage if we were to start it at the present time, and that is, of course, it would start from scratch without a lot of bad loans. And if you were careful who you lent the money to, and you lent it to people who had invested and invested wisely, but they're going to have some collateral to put up before you simply give them money. But anything else you want to say, Tony, before we let you go? I think your remarks are very well taken.
I'm thinking that there is a multiplier effect. As long as you keep the money out of the military, hands of the military, and in the hands of local people, the same money gets spent 4 and sometimes 5 times, and at several levels, it actually collects taxes. It makes that your tax base a lot larger. And in England discovered that they could actually give money to poor people and end up getting all the money back in taxes from the various levels that it goes through every single year.
Well, you see, that works if you have a system that wants to survive. Our leaders at the present time have withheld credit intentionally to collapse the system. This is where we are today. Hey, one more point, and then we'll let you go.
Well, one more point is that the Federal Reserve System, I asked Sam Farr at a meeting in Watsonville, at the Watsonville Civic Center, where he was talking shortly after, in fact, the day after the big bailout went through, long before Obama became president. And I said, some guy stood up in the audience and said, "Mr. Farr, will you please admit that the Federal Reserve is not a government entity?" And he pretended he didn't even hear the question. So we've just turned over all of the wealth of our country to a Bernanke who is not even a government employee. People don't understand that. So it's almost as though the international elites are now totally in control of all the money, way back to our great-grandchildren's tax money.
Amen to that. Well,
okay,
thanks
you.
Very much for calling, and I think his point is well made. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And Ellen's point, if you stop and think about it, it would be that these states would be answerable to the legislature, which you hope would be responsive to the people, and of course that bank that would begin lending to begin to get the economy going. And certainly this is what's happening in North Dakota, isn't it?
Yes. And another advantage of a state bank, you wouldn't have all the graft and greed going on. So you wouldn't have multimillion-dollar CEOs, so that's some money you would save. You wouldn't have people making loans just to get the fees and bonuses and so forth, which is what you had now, you know, where you had all these liars' loans. And I mean, they didn't care what kind of people were walking in the door because they knew they were going to sell these loans off to gullible investors. They weren't going to keep him on their books, so they were just making all these commissions and fees. Well, if you're a government employee, that's not part of the deal. You're not trying to make a profit with this bank. You don't get any extra reward for landing loans. So you only make a loan to somebody who is a credit-worthy borrower. Or you can make it to, let's say it's called a development bank, and the whole purpose of this bank is local development. You can make loans to other government agencies that were then going to go out and do something developmental. I mean, it doesn't necessarily have to be building things. It could be education. It could be medicine. Because those two, as the caller just said, when you give money to those things, you actually get it back in terms of you keep your people healthier, you get them educated, and then they get higher-paying jobs, and then they pay you more back in taxes. The GI Bill was said to be the best investment the federal government ever made. They just educated people, the GIs, you know, it wasn't that expensive then to put them through school, and then they had higher incomes for the next 40 years, so they were paying back taxes, more in the way of taxes over a 40-year period, just for that brief period that the government educated them. So that we're all in this together, you know, it's a commonwealth, and if you give to your people, then you improve your general population and your general lifestyle, and that will give back to the government. I mean, it's a self-perpetuating, self-feeding thing.
Are you concerned about the fact that the Constitution doesn't authorize the federal government to give money to people?
Well, I'm thinking in terms of...
No, if you want to talk about the state, that's an entirely different proposition. But what about the federal government just giving money? Did welfare, the welfare programs we had here in this country, really increase our debt, or did it give us a stronger economy? Certainly, you can, for a time, while you can give money away, and certainly the cash for clunkers worked great, and now they're going to have cash for appliances. But down the line, we're going to have a massive debt. And, of course, certainly we're going to have to pay interest on that debt. How long can you keep going simply giving away money? Can you spend yourself into prosperity when you are a government?
Well, but I think a government, let's take pensions. If you have a decent government pension, you do not have to, everybody feels like they have to squirrel money away and have their money making money. And the whole problem with our system today is money making money. That just by definition, if somebody's money is making money, they're not making any products, then they're taking money away from someone else, or they're inflating the system. There's only two ways you can make money, and that's by taking it from someone else or adding more money to the system, in other words, inflating prices, which also takes money away from someone else. So if you provided a decent pension for people so that they could look forward to a comfortable retirement, they don't have to worry about their money making money.
But the problem is, Social Security is a Ponzi scheme. It's out of money. But within the next 3 years, why, they'll be putting out more money than they're taking in, and then as more and more baby boomers retire, why, they're just going to have to, of course, suddenly borrow more money to fund Social Security. They did not use Social Security as a pension system. It was a Ponzi scheme.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Well, you know, America is changing, but most of the changes that are taking place seem to be designed to take away our freedom. And what can you do to remedy the current situation? Well, you can become informed, and one of the best ways to become informed is to subscribe to Republic Magazine, because that magazine provides the information that's suppressed in most other news magazines. If you want to oppose the effort to establish a one-world government, if you want to preserve freedom here in the United States and throughout the world, I suggest you subscribe to Republic Magazine, and you can do that by calling 1-800-873-1620. That's 800-873-1620, or access their website at www.republicmagazine.com. That's republicmagazine.com. I suggest you get extra copies for your family and your friends.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
This is one thing that could be done at the present time, but it's not going to be done because the people in charge don't want to solve the problem. They want to bring about chaos. How do I know that? Well, I read the plan. It's laid out in an article published in the New York Times on the 12th of January of this year, written by Henry Kissinger, titled A Chance for a New World Order. Get the article. You can get it off the Internet. Read it and understand it. He lays it out. You either go into this New World Order, countries throughout the world, or there's going to be chaos. That's the plan. So they don't really want a solution. If we had a solution, why we wouldn't get the chaos? We had banks acting responsibility and lending loans, and the small banks quit being able to put their money in the Fed and getting interest and lending loans, we wouldn't have the problem. It's all contrived. And once you understand that, it all begins to make sense. Because there is another agenda, and Ellen recognizes there's a globalist agenda behind what's going on. Well, ladies and gentlemen, this is the time when I need to remind you Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported. We cover a great deal of this in my talk on the financial tsunami. And then the follow-up three or four years later, the financial Armageddon. And the syllabus is with both of those. You need to get and understand the information. We carry a great book by Thomas Wood called Meltdown. Meltdown, you need to get it. You need to get the book. The Coming Battle was written in 1899 by Mr. Walther as an attorney, talking about how the banks were eventually going to take over our country. The book, The Money Creators by Gertrude Coogan, written in 1935. Everything was done to suppress this because she blew the whistle on the Federal Reserve System at that time. And then, because we do carry the creature from Jekyll Island, the Federal Reserve conspiracy and fiat money inflation in France. That's the creature from Jekyll Island, the Federal Reserve conspiracy by Professor Sutton, and fiat money inflation in France, written by Andrew Dickinson White well over 100 years ago. But it tells you what happened in France back in 1789 when they did exactly what we're doing today. They tried to spend themselves into prosperity. Well, our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. Now, don't you dare forget our October 25th all-day conference here at the Aptos Seascape Golf Course. We're bringing in speakers from all across the country, and we're serving lunch. You have to have a reservation. Again, the number to call is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. If you haven't read the book, Family of Secrets, That's Family of Secrets. It's a great book on the Bush family and, of course, the Skull and Bone Society and of course, the part that George Herbert Walker Bush played in the John Kennedy assassination. All sorts of information you'll never read elsewhere. It goes into the whole Bush family, Prescott Bush and George Herbert Walker Bush and Sidney George W. Bush. Understand that behind them there's powerful forces. They're simply front men for far more powerful organizations. The book Family of Secrets, we certainly recommend it. We have so many books. We have a book called Into the Buzzsaw. Into the Buzzsaw goes into the background of the control of the media. There are essays there written by various people who had, you know, worked in the media, were 60 Minutes, 2020, the Pulitzer Prize winning author Gary Webb from the San Jose Mercury wrote about the CIA and drugs and suddenly was discharged and couldn't get a job anyplace and ended up committing suicide by shooting himself in the back of the head twice to make sure he was dead. We have an essay there by Gary Webb and by all these other people, Monica Jensen Stevenson, Into the Buzzsaw. What happens if somebody in the media really tells the truth? You can hear read their stories, fascinating information. Well, remember our number, 1-800-544-8927. Please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection.
You're tuned to the Global Star Radio Network. Thanks for listening.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Power Hour Radio Show. Good morning, and thank you for joining us today. Today is the 15th of September. I appreciate so much that you care more about the truth than you do about being entertained. And that's why you're listening to the Power Hour today. No entertainment here, just the truth. And if you're watching television, well, there's plenty of entertainment there. It seems like it's getting to be media wars. I don't know if you've noticed this or not, CNN going up against Fox News, Fox News taking on MSNBC. And for what purpose? Because that's not news. But what they're trying to do is put each other down, make each other look like they are not doing as good a job as the other network is or cable station is. And I think evidence of that is Glenn Beck and his continuous involvement with the Acorn issue, which has now forced CNN to get involved. Now, these are very serious issues, and they are, with merit, do need to be on television, because of the fact that $60 to $80 million of our monies goes to Acorn every year. So we'll talk about this a little bit more because the wars are heating up in the media. But I think they're getting frustrated with the idea that nothing is really being done other than the scamming of money. And I think it's huge now. It's just so obvious to everyone. I want to thank the person from the inside, let me say that, that contacted me regarding the merits of what happened this past weekend. And I think after you hear what she has to say, you also will agree that it probably served a very real important purpose. Though I was challenging that with the idea that why would they be going and spending all that money, and it seems that just maybe a lot was accomplished. In the news, though, in the real news, Britain now appears to be training Libyan forces. Why? And it looks like we might just have another war on our hands with another country, not Libya, but another one. The United States seems to be picking its enemies and then going after them and saying, oh, we're justified because of ABCD. Now, ABCD doesn't have to be at all meritorious, but we just go after them and we make our own battle with them. More and more questions are being asked. Is this the death of the dollar? Too many questions are being asked. That makes me wonder what is being done, what is being minted right now for us to utilize, because it seems that there's going to be a change in the dollar. There are some people in high places that are starting